What's up, everybody? Joe DiBiase, Nick Lozanowski joining you here on the first 2018 edition of the WGR Fantasy Football Podcast. Yes, that is going to be our theme song going forward. Yes, I know it's my name and it's a little, over the top? Is it over the top?
I think it's great. It's personal to you.
Right.
It's personal to Joe.
It's going to be my my Sal Capaccio song.
That's right.
Right. Sal was in Jacksonville for the playoffs, and there's people across the restaurant shouting his theme song at him. That's what I want.
Anytime I tell someone I work here, they bring up the Sal Capaccio theme song, honestly.
So we need this to become the next Sal Capaccio theme song. That is actually was written, directed? Do you direct music?
Produced.
Produced. Written, produced, played by my buddy Trevor Weaver and the Disciples of Smoke.
Don't you work in an audio industry? Shouldn't you know that it's produced?
Moving on. All right, let's jump right into it. It's a little bit early. March 25th. It's very early. We're probably, 5 months away from draft season?
You've already drafted once.
I've already drafted once, but that was a very odd league. February Fix League. I mean, with Mike Shope and others at WGR. That was a very strange league. And I had fun with it, though, and my team is looking pretty good. After these free agent landing spots. We're going to talk about one of them that I'm super excited with at running back, and I think you already have an idea of who I'm talking about.
I know exactly who it is.
Because we'll get to it. But let's hop in with the Bills to start. Actually, before we hop in with the Bills, let's just, going forward in the season, it's going to be myself, Joe DiBiase here hosting, and I'm going to be joined sporadically by Nick Lozanowski here, as you might end up being my most regular co-host here.
It's because I'm the best.
Right. Well, maybe. Or you might just be the most readily available. But
we'll find that out.
My brother Lou DiBiase will also be joining at times. Derek Kramer and Nate Geary will probably pop in once in a while. We'll see. Maybe I can get Mike Shope to be on here. He's a huge fantasy nerd, so we'll get to all of that stuff. Let's start with the Bills, though. They didn't really make any giant free agent acquisitions on offense. They didn't really make a giant free agent acquisition. I guess Star Latule might qualify as that. But on offense, they get the quarterback and A.J. McCarron. And past that, it's not really much. So let's start with McCarron. Right now, looking at his consensus rankings right now between all experts so far that have made rankings in fantasy football across the interwebs, McCarron's ranked 34th. My instinct on him was, because of the factor of the unknown, I think he could be considered between the 20th and 25th best quarterback going into fantasy drafts.
Well, that's if he starts all next year. That's a question, because if the Bills were to draft a quarterback high that they wanted to eventually put in the starting rotation the way the Bears did with Mitch Trubisky over Mike Glennon, then you run into a situation where McCarron might have a strong first couple games fantasy-wise. If the team's 0-3, they might pull the plug and go to Josh Rosen or whoever they get at that spot. Sam Darnold, hopefully not Josh Allen.
That might change it, though. If it's Josh Allen rather than Josh Rosen, a lot of the sentiment out there is that Allen is the risk guy, the project guy, whereas Rosen is usually tagged as the most pro-ready of any of these quarterbacks. So I wonder if that would change how much leeway that McCarron might get going into the season, if he really starts at all. Because if it's Josh Rosen, I don't know if McCarron is starting a game. If Rosen is the quarterback the Bills choose. Let's play the if game, though. Let's say McCarron does start. Let's say week one, he's the starter. They got a rookie quarterback in there, and they're lurking behind, but McCarron's going to start. So going into the season, does that change any opinion for you on the Bills' offensive weapons, whether it's Kelvin Benjamin, Charles Clay, even LeSean McCoy? McCoy, you're probably taking around the same no matter who his quarterback is, but is McCarron being the starter instead of Tyrod Taylor make any of these guys less appealing to you?
You're talking about his weapons?
Yeah. Be like these guys. Like, if you're drafting Kelvin Benjamin, does A.J. McCarron being the starting quarterback hurt Kelvin Benjamin's stock?
I think that it really depends on how he does in general, right? Because that sounds like an obvious argument, but Tyrod would do well in general, but his weapons wouldn't necessarily do well around him at all times. Look at Sammy Watkins or Kelvin Benjamin last year. Where
Benjamin was not good last year with Tyrod Taylor. As a fantasy player, not good.
Right. And so I think if McCarron is producing at a Tyrod level, it could mean better for the wide receivers. It could mean more positive things for the wide receivers because he doesn't really have that same running aspect that Tyrod did, or at least not as...
He's not as athletic.
But it's not as defined. So even if he runs and gets scrambles, they're not running designed runs or run pass options or things like that. So, I mean, if he's producing at the same level that Tyrod did last year, it could be good for the receivers. But if he's just like an absolute disaster, then I don't know what it means for the receivers, because whoever they bring in to either back up McCarron, whether it's a rookie or they bring in another.
Or if it's just Peterman.
Right. That could be awful for the receivers.
That could be really, really
McCarron is such a wild card because we've only seen him play three games. One of them a playoff game, right?
That's why I think right now I'd have him ranked around like 25, because there's just that wild unknown. Like, if you're stuck looking for, maybe you're in a deep league, maybe you're in like a 16-team league or a 2-quarterback league, and you're looking between Joe Flacco and AJ McCarron. Sure, odds are Flacco's probably going to give you more good fantasy days throughout the year. His job would be safer. He's been around the league. Like, we know what Joe Flacco is, but I might be more interested to take a guy like McCarron just because that factor of unknown, that we don't really know what we're going to get from him. Whereas like Flacco, we know what we're getting. If you're having to start Joe Flacco in fantasy football, you're not in a good spot with your quarterback. McCarron, there's at least a little bit of hope, I think, that he can come out and do like what he did in that Steeler playoff game a couple years ago, where he can come out and be like a legitimate quarterback in the NFL. Like, I think maybe we could see another Tyrod Taylor situation where he comes in here and is actually pretty decent. All right, let's move on from the Bills, though. There's not a ton interesting going on with them right now, fantasy football-wise, but we will have another show, probably post-draft, to see what the Bills have done, and we'll dive deeper into what they look like going forward. Of course, new offensive coordinator Brian Daboll as well. Hopefully, we'll know more about him by then. Let's dive right in, though, to free agency. And the movement around the NFL, there were a ton of players around the league that moved that I think are going to be very interesting for fantasy football. I'm going to start with the guy that we kind of mentioned a few minutes ago. You own him in our 1-2-player keeper league.
I do.
And it is former Vikings running back Jerick McKinnon.
Former Georgia State quarterback. No, Georgia Southern quarterback, Jerick McKinnon.
Wait, he played quarterback?
He was an option quarterback. Yeah, he was a quarterback in college.
So he wasn't a quarterback. He ran
a 1950s offense, the wishbone.
Okay, which is, that's not, wait, you mean Georgia Tech?
No, I mean Georgia Southern.
They also run,
yeah.
Why do teams, okay, what, I don't understand why teams.
Make up for a lack of talent.
So is that a bad thing for Jerick McKinnon?
Well, he wasn't very talented as a quarterback.
Okay, makes sense. So Jerick McKinnon comes into the San Francisco 49ers offense, which for the last half of the season was awesome. Kyle Shanahan is running the show there. They got Jimmy Garoppolo in. As of right now, Carlos Hyde's gone. We'll get to him in a second. They don't really have another running back to speak of that I think will threaten McKinnon for carries. Maybe Matt Breida steals 3 or 4 a game. He kind of did that with Hyde. But I think McKinnon is in a super good spot now. I know for a fact, being the fantasy football insider that I am, that you've gotten calls on him from multiple teams.
Yes.
In our keeper league on him as a keeper.
Yes, and my strategy is actually terrible for everybody else around me, that I'm super content to let him
so
go
into the
draft.
So whatever Nick's about to say here, do not listen to this.
I'm content to let him go into the draft because I pick 6th in the draft, and the deeper that the draft pool is, the more likely I am to get a better pick or a better player in the draft at 6. Flawless logic by me.
So after McKinnon signs, Kyle Shanahan, who of course ran that offense in Atlanta where there were 2 viable fantasy running backs in Devontae Freeman and Devin Coleman, Shanahan says he thinks McKinnon can take that Devontae Freeman role, which was the more premier of the two. So I think going in right now, I think maybe there's some talk that if Saquon Barkley were to fall, maybe the Niners could grab him. I don't really think that bodes well for either one of their fantasy values. Maybe they get Saquon Barkley. Probably not. I don't think he would fall to 9 anyway. I think what probably ends up happening is San Francisco drafts another running back with the, I don't know, maybe like it might even be as early as the 2nd or 3rd round. I don't really think they want Breida to be that second guy, so I wonder if they're going to invest in like a top running back in the draft. I mean, Sony Michel is a 2nd-round guy. Is he ahead of Chubb, you think, in most rankings?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I would probably rather have Chubb.
You would rather have Chubb?
Yeah.
He would probably fit better with McKinnon, too, because McKinnon's not big. He's 5'9".
He's a scat back, but that works great in the offense.
He's 216, though. I mean, he could put on a little bit of weight. I wonder if they think he can actually be a 3-down back, though. And if they don't bring in another guy, I think they might want him to be a 3-down back. He's had good stats throughout the past. He averaged 4 yards carry in his career. Average. I mean, limited touches in Minnesota. 570 yards last year on only 150 touches. 51 receptions. And that's where I think his money's going to be made. I think PPR leagues and half-point PPR leagues, I think this dude's going to get 70 to 80 catches this year. Stuff coming out of the backfield, he can line up at wide receiver. I think sitting here today, he is a keeper-worthy player, as in I think he's top 25. He's a top 25 overall fantasy player going into the season as of right now.
I would agree, and I would actually, some of the things that you just said about San Francisco bringing in another running back with value, like second round value, or drafting Barkley at 9 if he were to fall there. I don't really know why they would do that. They just got into a bidding war with the Jets over Jerick McKinnon and paid him quite a bit of money. Why would you continue to invest more capital into a position?
But it's running back. I mean, you could bring in a cheap guy.
But yeah, no, but that's okay. So if they bring in a guy from, let's just say, a mid-major school in the fifth round, let's say they bring in Donnell Pumphrey from San Diego State.
Okay.
I don't think he's
You don't think he's threatening for touches?
Some, but not like the way a traditional backup running back would be.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to bring in a guy who's you don't, there okay, directly I compete with McKinnon.
Yeah, you don't think they're going to bring in a guy good enough to make it a committee?
No, I think it's good that whoever they bring in, whether it's a free agent at this late of a stage, or whether they draft a guy high, or whether they draft a guy later in the draft, I think it's going to be for a specific role. Third down blocking back, third down short yardage back, which could be bad for goal line situation, but
I wouldn't expect him to get him anyway, being how small he is.
Right.
For each free agent, we are going to decide whether we think their fantasy value was helped, hurt, or stays the same with their new team, whether it goes up, down, or stays the same. So for Jerick McKinnon, San Francisco, I think we're going to both agree on this. I think his fantasy value goes up going to the 49ers.
Yes.
And I think about as high as it could have gone. Like, I don't think I could have picked a better spot for him.
I don't think so either, especially with the coaching staff in place.
All right, moving on to the guy that he is replacing, Carlos Hyde, signs with the Cleveland Browns. Do you think Carlos Hyde's value went up, down, or remains the same with the Cleveland Browns? Isaiah Crowell is gone. He's now with the Jets. But Duke Johnson's still there.
I would say it remains the same. I would, because the Browns are looking to be at least an improved offense. Who knows how many games they're actually going to win? You know, we'll probably be more than zero.
You'd hope so.
He's probably going to be the top back there, unless the Browns were to draft Barkley at 4 or 1, depending on what their stance is on a quarterback, because you never know how an organization feels about a certain batch of guys. But
so consensus rankings has Carlos Hyde ranked 18th, right behind Kenyon Drake and Joe Mixon, right in front of Saquon Barkley, who doesn't have a team yet, and Jay Ajayi, who is in Philly, and they have 1,000 running backs in their backfield. I think that ranking is a little high for him. You said stays the same. I think this might hurt his value a little bit. I like the offense that he was in San Francisco. If he had stayed there going forward, now I'm not sure if they even wanted to bring him back, or maybe he just went to Cleveland for more money. I don't know enough about the situation. But if he had stayed in San Francisco, I would have liked his value more. I think you're going to an offense in Cleveland where year after year, Hugh Jackson now has talked about wanting to run the football. They haven't been able to do it just because they've always trailed. Like, they wanted to do it with Crowell last season, and they were behind in every single game, and they weren't able to do it. Now, this year, they should be improved, but how improved are they going to be? I mean, they're not going to come out and be like some 9-7 football team. They're probably still going to be like a 4-5, maybe 6-win team, which means they're still going to be trailing a majority of games. I don't know how many opportunities we're going to see Carlos Hyde to get more than a dozen carries in a game. I think
he's also not a great pass catching back.
Right. He's not awful at it either, but right. He's not like Duke Johnson would be the guy that they're going to look for in those situations.
Right.
If they're down 21 in the second half, Duke Johnson's going to play more snaps than Carlos Hyde. I think his value goes down a little bit. I can see the argument though for saying it stays the same, because it's not. I mean, he's still going to be the starting running back on a team.
The offense was good last year in San Francisco towards the end, but they were still largely a losing team, and he was producing.
Were they? Didn't they win like 6 in a row
at the end? But those first, they were 0-10 or 1-9 or something like that, and he had okay production during that time.
Finishes the 9th best running back in the league. So RB1, a low-end RB1. Yeah, you're right. Double-digit points in his first 4 games. 5 of his first 6. A couple 20-point games. This is in standard leagues. PPR leagues. And yeah, pretty good last half of the season. He only had 2 games under 10 carries.
I guess where I would push back on my own point would be that San Francisco, while not winning games last year, was also more competitive than Cleveland was.
Even though they were also 0-9 at one point, 0-8?
Yeah.
0-9. I think 0-9.
Well,
Did they 0-9 and they won 5-6 at the end? Or 6 in a row?
I don't think Garoppolo's lost as a starter. Undefeated Jimmy G. So it would have had to have
been right.
0-10 and then 6.
Because he hasn't lost since 2013.
When was the trade deadline? Isn't that when they got him at the deadline?
I don't know.
Irrelevant.
Week 12? I don't remember. All right, so Carlos Hyde, Nick says his value stays the same. I say that it goes down. Let's do another running back. Deion Lewis goes from the Patriots. Do you know where he went?
Tennessee.
Tennessee Titans. He joins Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry owners shake their fist to the skies as they thought he was finally going to be the guy in Tennessee. And no, they bring in Deion Lewis, who I think his value will go down.
I agree.
Just, you can't leave that Patriots offense, go to the Titans. Fantasy owners didn't get really production from either Henry or DeMarco Murray last season, and I think we're probably going to see a similar situation.
How many of these New England plug-in guys that are just generic players that come in, they produce in New England, and then they leave, they cash in on a contract, and then they don't perform very well? There's a lot of those guys.
The one guy,
not necessarily like the offensive weapons are a little bit different that way, but
the one guy that has, I think, gone elsewhere and produced was Danny Woodhead.
Yes,
but he also got injured almost every season.
Right. New England has, but other than that, a way of getting the best years out of their players.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Deion Lewis, Tennessee Titans. We both say that it goes down. Let's do another running back. Let's see, who do we like? All right, what? Jeremy Hill. You're on New England. Jeremy Hill goes to the Patriots. I think that this just confuses the hell out of me. I don't know what the hell they're doing. Well, I know what they're doing. Belichick likes to have a bunch of running backs so he can confuse fantasy owners. That's exactly why he does it. Jeremy Hill, Mike Gillisley, James White is still there. Rex Burkhead was re-signed. Does Jeremy Hill have any chance of carving out something there in New England?
Goal line carries. He's the biggest of the bunch.
Okay, so does his fantasy value go up, down, or stay the same? Remember, Cincinnati was the third running back last year.
It's got to go up from there, right? I don't see why New England would bring in a player from the outside like that through free agency, like an established player, to not have at least a certain role. And I think he could fill their LeGarrette Blount role. Where wasn't LeGarrette Blount a top end running back?
I think he led the league in rushing touchdowns a couple years ago. He had 17.
Like
I'm gonna say it stays the same. I think he was irrelevant in Cincinnati. I think maybe New England tosses him out there and see if he can fill that Blount role, but I don't think he really necessarily can. So I think that he's gonna end up being benched or maybe even cut at some point. Maybe he doesn't even make it to the 53-man roster. Him and Gillisley feel like would play similar roles, so I don't know why they need two of those guys. We'll see what happens. I say it stays the same.
He's cheaper than Gillisley, though. Fairly certain they signed him to a cheaper deal. If you're the Patriots looking for value, because they didn't use Gillisley that much last year. So if you're looking at one of those two guys and you say one of them might not make the 53-man roster, I'd say it's more likely to be Gillisley because of his cap hit.
I think I got to look up his cap hit, though. I did a piece on WGR550.com a couple months ago looking at Gillisley and if he could be candidate to be cut by the Patriots before the 2018 season. And I'm pretty sure his cap hit went down. He had a very, I think, front-ended contract. But I'm not sure if that was just cap hit, if that was salary. So I think you might be right on that, but I'm going to double check that at some point here. Doug Martin goes to the Oakland Raiders. I say stay away. I say his value goes down, even though it wasn't very high to begin with because he was kind of in the doghouse in Tampa Bay, but I say Doug Martin in Oakland's value goes down.
His value goes down, and so does Marshawn Lynch's value.
Absolutely.
Oakland becomes, those are two players that to me are going to be largely unreliable throughout the season.
And now I don't even know if you can take a flyer on a guy like, they got those two backups, Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington. I don't really think you're in a position now you can take a flyer in either one of them. I think this kind of makes their backfield a little murky. I'm staying away. I say his value goes down. Let's go to Jonathan Stewart, who signs with the New York Giants. Now the Giants have the second pick in the draft. I don't know if they would take Saquon Barkley. I don't feel like there's a lot of talk surrounding them with him, but I have seen mock drafts where they take Barkley. Jonathan Stewart right now would probably be penciled in as the starter or would be in kind of a timeshare with Wayne Gallman. It seems like Paul Perkins is on the outs there, so it would be Wayne Gallman and Jonathan Stewart. Whether or not they bring in another guy is yet to be seen. Does Jonathan Stewart's value go up, down, or remain the same, Mr. Christian McCaffrey owner?
The same. He's going to find himself in the same situation that he was in Carolina, where he's...
Are you telling me Wayne Gallman is as good as Christian McCaffrey?
No, but they're just going to split. McCaffrey was better, but they didn't...
How much did they split last year?
Oh, quite a bit. Carries-wise, quite a bit. McCaffrey, I think, had very few games with over, like, 7 or 8 carries. McCaffrey was basically a wide receiver last year. He had 80-some catches.
So Christian McCaffrey only had 3 weeks with 10 carries last season.
And one of them was week one, where he had 13 carries for 47. He didn't really produce in that role. I mean, he had one game against Green Bay, 12 carries for 63 yards, averaging 5.3 a carry. But other than that, it was, you know, mediocre rushing performance from McCaffrey last year, so a lot of that was going to Stewart.
For now, I'm going to say Stewart's value goes up just because I see more of an opportunity for him to start before the draft happens, of course, more so than he would have had in Carolina.
I mean, I can't disagree with that logic. I just feel like Wayne Gallman is going to have a decent role in that offense, and Stewart's getting older. Like, the combination of Stewart's productivity going down and Gallman also...
He never got the opportunity to start in his career. He had, the 1 year, a couple years ago. Like, D'Angelo Williams was always there, and forever it was like, all right, when are they going to kick him out of here and get give Jonathan Stewart the reins? And it just never happened. He has a career where I feel like a lot of fantasy owners maybe were wanting more.
Only because of what you're saying, that he never really had the chance to go solo, and I don't think he will now either. He's towards the end of his career,
yeah,
for sure.
Close to the end. All right, let's move to wide receivers. Baltimore adds a couple, so let's start with them. They signed Michael Crabtree, who was released by the Raiders, and let's throw John Brown in here too. What are the fantasy value implications for Michael Crabtree and John Brown going to Baltimore? Do they go up, down, or remain the same? I'll give you mine quick here. I think Crabtree's go down because I thought he had a good rapport with Derek Carr in Oakland. I don't really know if Joe Flacco is going to be able to continue that. For John Brown, I think his value goes up. Flacco is more of a deep ball guy than he's ever had in Arizona. I'm not saying he's better than Carson Palmer, for instance, but I think Flacco might be more willing to throw the ball downfield when he's got John Brown just flying up the wing. So I'll say John Brown value goes up. I'll say Crabtree's goes down.
I would agree with you, and mostly down on Crabtree. That's kind of where I'm at, because John Brown's value goes up, but it's more incremental just because, you know, more shots might be taken his way.
And it was almost at nothing last year.
Right.
He did nothing last
year. Where Crabtree left what was a really good situation for him. I mean, he was cut, but left a really good situation in Oakland where he was getting targets despite having Amari Cooper on the other side. Okay, so really, when you draft Amari Cooper, the thought is that Michael Crabtree would begin to
be the secondary
guy, and he would not allow that to happen. He continued to demand, you know, with his play, continued to demand number one wide receiver targets and production. He was just good, and with Derek Carr and in that offense, and I don't see the same thing happening in Baltimore. Flacco's, to me, is just a lesser quarterback. The offense is just not as dynamic of an offense. Deep balls, they do have. But it's not, they're not putting up...
They're not an efficient offense.
No.
Which is what Crabtree really needs to realize his potential, because, and he's slowing down. Like, he had speed, I would say, a couple years ago. I'm not saying he doesn't have any now, but he's certainly not the same receiver that he was 3-4 years ago. You make a good point, though. I mean, Derek Carr, watching the Raiders the past couple years, like, when he would get in trouble and he had to throw the ball to someone who was covered, he was going to Crabtree 100, every single time. He was only throwing to Cooper if Cooper had a step on somebody or if he was a little bit open. Like, if everyone's covered and maybe Carr's under pressure, he's throwing that ball to Michael Crabtree. So I wonder how that's going to change with Jordy Nelson, who is now in Oakland. So Jordy Nelson will be opposite Amari Cooper in Oakland. I say Jordy Nelson's value is going to go up, and not because of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, but Rodgers was hurt last season and Nelson has had injuries. I mean, he really hasn't been an elite fantasy wide receiver except for 2 years ago he was. But two of the last 3 years, he hasn't been. One was because of injury. One was because of an injury to Aaron Rodgers. So I would think his value is going to go up just because he was so ineffective last year once Rodgers went out. I'm saying it more because of circumstance, not necessarily like if he had stayed in Green. So I guess if he had stayed in Green Bay, I would say his value would have been higher.
His value would have been higher. Yeah,
but it's higher now than it was last year.
Specifically last year, which then I would be tempted to agree with you. But in general, I think it's not the best career, like, it's not the best place for him to end up in his career, just because whenever you leave Aaron Rodgers' side, as you're an aging possession receiver,
Gruden's gonna be calling plays too.
So a lot of run and ground and pound and spider two y banana to tight ends, and spider two y banana,
is that a thing?
Do you not know that meme?
No,
it's an elite level meme. John Gruden in quarterback camp, I don't remember what year or who the quarterback was, but he like kept slowing down the footage. He's like, look at this spider dude, why banana? And it was just like, it might have been Andrew Luck, because Stanford used to run that all the time, where it's like a play action, bootleg, leak a tight end, and, you know, have a tight end or a wide receiver running deep. And John Gruden was like, he loved that play, and it's like an elite level John Gruden meme. I'm disappointed in you that you don't know it.
I don't. Do you know who is replacing John Gruden on QB camp?
Yeah, I do. Makes me sad.
Russell Wilson.
Mr. Uninteresting.
Russell Wilson. That's going to be very interesting.
Future New York Yankee, Russell Wilson.
Let's dive into one more. I keep saying dive into. I don't know why I'm doing that. We need to...
cannonball into.
Okay, let's cannonball. Let's freestyle 100-meter swim into Sammy Watkins, former Bill, who was in Kansas City. And then after we kind of analyze Watkins, we'll kind of fly through the rest of these. Watkins goes to Kansas City on a big contract. His quarterback, who we'll talk about a little bit coming up, is going to be Pat Mahomes. So that's going to be interesting. Watkins becomes the number one receiver there. Number one receiver. I would think he gets the most targets. I wonder if Tyreek Hill might get more touches than him, though, just because he gets more... I mean, he gets some stuff out of the backfield.
Yeah, they'll run jet sweeps with him. They'll run little pop passes with him, and he'll be on special teams. Tyreek Hill will have more touches.
So I'll say Watkins' value will go up because I think Kansas City's offense is similar enough to LA's where there's creativity to it. I think it's efficient. The quarterback is going to be different because I don't know what you're getting out of Mahomes. I think it's a less crowded wide receiver core, though. You've got Tyreek Hill there, and that's about it. Whereas in L.A., he had to deal with Robert Woods. He had to deal with Tavon Austin. He had to deal with Cooper Kupp, Farrell Cooper. The tight end, Higbee, was getting a lot of touches. And, I mean, Travis Kelce will do that as well.
You can make an argument that a lot of those guys were getting touches because of the way they were covering Sammy Watkins, and now teams don't really have to do that.
So do you think that will happen in Kansas City as well?
Where he becomes more of a decoy?
I mean, really, you could argue he's the third most talented weapon on that team, behind Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and even Kareem Hunt.
I would say teams are more likely to roll double coverage over the top of Tyreek Hill than they would be Sammy Watkins. And knowing what I know, okay, this is uninformed, but informed at the same time. Because knowing what I know
That's
about
not
Andy,
possible.
Not true. Knowing what I know about Andy Reid and the way he coaches offense is that he puts his players usually in the best circumstances they can to succeed, right?
Yes.
And so if you watched Pat Mahomes in college, you would know that Pat Mahomes' offense at Texas Tech was a air raid offense. But a lot of the times in those air raid offenses, there's a lot of screen passes to wide receivers, okay? And Sammy Watkins is a great wide receiver screen pass catcher. And I think that could be a really good role for Sammy Watkins. Of course, he's going to have other
I mean, he can
like,
do it all.
Targets too. He can do it all, but I think he's going to really excel there with screen passes and other plays like intermediate routes
There's
for the first time in his
stuff.
Career because he finally has someone across from him that's an equal threat to him, and so they can't double cover both.
And that's also not even remembering Kelce,
right?
I mean, they've got weapons. Yeah, I think I'm gonna still say it goes up. I like the fit there in Kansas City.
I think it's gonna go way up. I think Watkins is gonna have a great season.
How great? You want to make a bold prediction on that? Does he finish as a top 10 fantasy receiver in the league on the year?
I'm gonna say yes.
Top 10?
Top 10.
I'll say top 15. I'm not quite with you there on top 10 yet. All right, Watkins to Kansas City. We both think his value goes up. Nick thinks it skyrockets up. Let's go to... Let's fly through some of these other free agents here. We'll do quick answers. Allen Robinson goes to the Chicago Bears. Does his value go up, down, or remain the same?
Up. He left Bortles.
I will say it goes... stays the same. I didn't like him in Jacksonville. I don't really like him.
A lot of people like what they see from Trubisky last year. I'm not the guy that's really qualified to sit down and watch tape and tell you the nitty gritty of what I thought about that. You know,
didn't he win a game completing like three passes?
He did. But that's
not great.
There was a lot to like there with Trubisky. I mean, he's a developmental project for sure, but it could be better than he should be better than Blake Bortles. It is not a large
jury
barrier
slot on
to
that,
jump
though.
Over.
All right. Jimmy Graham goes to the Green Bay Packers. Value go up, down, or remain the same?
I'm going to say it goes up.
Rodgers?
Yes. That's generally my rule.
He was really good in the second half of last season for the Seahawks. I mean, he was getting a touchdown. He was almost getting a touchdown a game. And where do you think he is ranked going into this season so far?
Out of tight ends or overall?
Tight ends.
Oh, well, he's going to be behind Gronk.
Behind Gronk.
And probably behind Kelce, so third?
He is seventh.
Really?
He's also behind Gronk, Kelce, Zach Ertz, Greg Olsen, Evan Ingram, and Hunter Henry.
I guess I can't really argue with any of those either.
I would say he's in that same tier as Henry, Ingram, and Olsen.
Tight end was a...
I like Ertz.
...was a weak position for some years in the NFL, and it's
last year it was great.
Yeah, it's really getting better. It really is. Tight end is improving
Jordan Reed's the 11th ranked tight end coming into the season. I mean, part of that's because he can't stay healthy. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Sticking with tight end, Trey Burton, sticking with Chicago too, because we were just talking about them. Trey Burton goes to Chicago. He's going to be the number one tight end there. Trey Burton, we can both agree his value goes up, but do you think he's a tight end one?
Probably low-end tight end one, I would say, because there's so many other good guys out there. There's so much talent at the tight end position because teams are finally utilizing tight ends more like a like a wide receiver type. So
they're blocking less and less every single year.
Yes.
All right. Paul Richardson, wide receiver, goes to the Redskins.
Up, I think. I think he's going to get more targets in Washington than he did in Seattle.
I will agree. Albert Wilson, wide receiver, goes to Miami. Say the same?
Probably. I don't see too much.
It's really hard to replace those 3-yard passes to Jarvis Landry.
It's going to be hard. And I don't know what to expect from Tannehill, really, is part of the reason that I struggle with that so much, actually, is because who knows what Tannehill's going to be. I mean, if the offense is great, then...
Or if he's even ready to start the season.
He should be.
I don't know. I've seen some question that... But maybe not even that. Maybe it's more because they're thinking about drafting a rookie.
See, now, if they draft a rookie, if they're able to get their hands on Mayfield or someone that I've heard that the Dolphins like, then, you know, perhaps his value could go up. Because you never, like, with the rookie quarterback, they're...
Amendola also signed there.
Some of these guys are coming in and they're ready. Like, they're better than the starters in the NFL right now. Mayfield's another guy where if he works in the NFL, he's going to work fairly immediately. He's not going to need 4 years to develop. So if Miami drafts Mayfield and he comes in there and starts, you know, lighting things up kind of... Maybe like a poor man's Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm. All right, quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins goes to Minnesota. I'm going to say up.
Up. Minnesota has great offensive weapons.
All right. Case Keenum in Denver. I'm going to say down just because, I mean, part of you just said Minnesota has great weapons. Keenum utilized that in the second half of last season. He was a good fantasy quarterback for half the season. I don't see it in Denver. Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas are getting older. They don't have a running back that's really even half good. I guess Devontae Booker might be something. I don't even know who their tight end is. Their offensive line stinks. I think Keenum is set up to not have a very good season in Denver.
I would agree. The roster's just, you know, almost indisputably worse.
Yeah. Sam Bradford in Arizona. I'm going to say up because I think that Sam Bradford likes to check down a lot, and I think he's got David Johnson there, and I think there might be a bunch of times where Sam Bradford just checks it down to David Johnson and he takes it for 10, 15 yards or even to the house. And I think that's gonna give Sam Bradford a lot of fantasy points that he's not necessarily earning.
Well, it's got to go up anyway because he didn't play last year. He barely played last year.
How many? What did he play? 3 games?
He played in the opener and got hurt in the opener. I think he came back for 2 more, maybe 1 more, and had a flare up, and then he was done. So his value has to go up from there. All right. He is what he is, though.
Let's do the two trade guys for Cleveland. Tyrod Taylor in Cleveland.
I think his value stays the same. Tyrod is a finished product, largely, as a quarterback. He is what he is. He'll produce what he produces.
He'll give you points running the ball.
Yes, and, you know, 180 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. That's what Tyrod is.
The reason I will say that Tyrod's value is going to go up is because Taylor's best fantasy games last year were games that he was getting blown out, other than the New Orleans game, where he would, I mean, he would rack up stats in games that were down big. The game that comes to mind is the Thursday night game against the Jets, where they're down 2 scores almost the entire game, and Tyrod puts up like 300 some yards, a couple of touchdowns. I think he might get more opportunity to do that in Cleveland. Just, I think there's going to be more garbage time than there was here in Buffalo. So I think just by that point alone, I think it's going to go up a little bit, not too much. What was he? Like, he was a really low-end quarterback 1, probably more of a quarterback 2. I think he's probably safely a low-end quarterback 1. Like, I don't think that question's there. I think you can trust Tyrod Taylor if he's the starter as, like, your number. I think you could trust him as a number 1 quarterback. All right. A couple more topics before we head out of here. We'll have another fantasy football podcast right around draft time, which is 1 month from tomorrow, I believe. April 26th, today's the 25th. I think that's right. Let's start with Pat Mahomes. We talked about him a little bit. We talked about his weapons. He's got Travis Kelce. He's got Sammy Watkins. He's got Tyreek Hill. He's got Kareem Hunt. He's got Sharpandre West. He's got... Who else is going there? Like, they have a ton of... They just have a ton of guys.
Kansas City's built a strong offense around him. They put him in a position to succeed after his redshirt season.
I think they have 4 great weapons and a bunch of, like, decent weapons. Like, they have depth there, too. So I think they've set Mahomes up in a really good spot. I think he's going to come in here, and I really think he's going to light it up. I think he's going to come in, and I know he was a raw prospect, and I know he was in an air raid offense at Texas Tech, a very quarterback-friendly offense at Texas Tech, but he sat a year. I think he's got the arm. He's got the ability to do it, and I just think Andy Reid is so good with quarterbacks that I think he's going to find a way to make Mahomes productive.
I think what I said earlier holds true with Mahomes, that Andy Reid is going to put him in a position to succeed. He's going to give him a lot of plays that are easy for him, you know, to understand. I don't mean to like insult him like football IQ, but just things that he's used to running. You know what I mean? They're not going to try to confuse him and make him do all this. You know, this is, I'm a coach, this is my way of doing it. I think they're going to work to his strengths, and I think that's going to bode well for him, and he's got a lot of weapons around him. He really doesn't have to be great, like, to be productive, because if Kansas City's offensive line holds up well and they have all those weapons around him, I mean, look at what Dak Prescott did for the Cowboys a couple years ago. I mean, Dak is good, but he's not amazing. At least we haven't seen that so far, unless he's got his offensive line there and Zeke there. Then Dak lights it up. And I think like Mahomes could be in a similar situation where he doesn't really have to be amazing to be productive, if that makes sense.
As of right now, Pat Mahomes or Joe Flacco?
Mahomes on potential and salary. If I was picking a team, I'd rather have Mahomes just because he's cheap.
Mahomes or Dalton?
Same thing, Mahomes.
Mahomes or Tyrod Taylor?
Mahomes.
Mahomes or Derek Carr?
Derek Carr, for now.
Okay.
Because Derek Carr is more proven.
Mahomes or Alex Smith?
Mahomes.
Mahomes or Marcus Mariota?
I would say Marcus Mariota for now.
Mahomes, Jameis Winston.
I think I'd rather have Mahomes.
Okay. Mahomes or Jared Goff?
I would rather have Goff right now.
And I'll give you one more here. Mahomes or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Garoppolo.
Okay, so I think you've got him a little bit higher than the rankings I'm looking at. Have him at 19th. Right behind Mariota. Matt Ryan, they have at 17. I think it's a little low for him. They have him behind Winston, Rivers, Goff, Dak Prescott. They have him ahead of Smith. They have him ahead of Carr. They have him ahead of Tyrod. They have him ahead of Dalton. I think 19 is probably fair for him. Two quarterback leagues, I think Patrick Mahomes is a really good number two quarterback. One quarterback leagues, I don't know necessarily if he should be owned. I think he's probably right on the fringe there. It depends what kind of league you're in. If you're in a league where people are just drafting two quarterbacks all the time, and you're going to get stuck if your guy gets hurt, go ahead and do it.
I think that offense is going to be great, though. I think Mahomes is worth owning as a second quarterback on your roster. For sure worth owning as a second quarterback. He could even end up being your starter. I mean, that's a great offense. I mean, really.
He has the upside.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one draft topic here before we head out. Saquon Barkley. A lot of people are talking about he is the best prospect in the draft, the most surefire prospect in the draft. The best running back prospect to come out in years. He might be the first running back to go first overall since like 95 or something. Barkley had a great pro day. He had a great combine. I don't think he really worked out.
He didn't work out at his pro day.
That's right. He's been rumored to possibly go one to Cleveland, possibly to two to the Giants, to the Colts. Really everywhere. He's been mocked in the top 10. So, best fits. For Saquon Barkley, we got Cleveland, we got the Giants, we got the Colts, we got Tampa Bay sitting there at 7. They don't have a starting running back. We got the Bears floating around. They probably wouldn't take him. I think they're fine with Jordan Howard. The Niners, maybe we talked about them a little bit. The Jets are taking a quarterback, so they're not in that mix. And then you've got the Raiders. We've got a couple of aging running backs. Maybe they would do that. So looking at those teams in the top 10, is there a team that sticks out to you as the best fit for Saquon Barkley in a fantasy purpose?
In a fantasy purpose, I would say the Colts. Because that offense, if Andrew Luck is healthy, we really don't know that, to be honest. He sat out all of last season with his shoulder injury. You don't know what he's going to come back as, but you know, let's just assume he comes back in decent form. That was always a great offense that was missing a running back piece. They never had really a reliable running game. Did Frank Gore even play with Luck? Was there 2 years? Frank Gore played a season with Luck, and I mean, he was okay.
He played 2 seasons with Luck.
But Frank Gore was limited in his older age. It would be nice to see Luck with a legitimate running game and a prospect that can do both carries out of the backfield and also catching passes out of the backfield.
What's funny about Gore quickly, this is a little off topic, but he had his second best season, according to Pro Football Focus, last year. Which was the year that Luck didn't play. He signed with the Dolphins, by the way. You say the Colts. I keep thinking the Browns. I don't know why, because I just feel like if they pick him one, it's more about what their plans are for him. Because Hugh Jackson, yeah, I said it earlier, he wants to run the football. They got Carlos Hyde there. Carlos Hyde's injury prone anyway. I'm not really too worried about him talent-wise. I think he's a good fantasy back if he's the starter in Cleveland. But I think if they drafted Saquon Barkley, I think they are going to force the ball down his throat. And, like, maybe right away. I think he's a guy that could average 20 to 25 touches a game. There could be games where he gets 30 touches a game. I think he comes into the Cleveland Browns and put him with Tyrod Taylor, put him with Jarvis Landry and Josh Gordon, really load up that offense with weapons. Now, they wouldn't have the elite quarterback unless they take Sam Darnold too, and maybe Sam Darnold becomes that guy. But all those weapons that are around there, they can't really key in, I think, on one player. So I like the fit in Cleveland. I think the Colts are a good fit as well, more so for opportunity. But the Colts, I mean, they've just never shown an ability to run the football. And just adding the running back isn't enough. I think you need to also have the offensive line. You need to have the mentality to do that. Frank Reich, is he a guy that's going to run the ball a lot? I mean, he seems like, and he was a quarterback, and he was a quarterback's coach, so I feel like he's a guy that's going to want to pass the ball 40 times a game with Andrew Luck.
The Eagles had a decent running game last year.
They did, but they split it up so much, and I wonder if he took notes from that. I mean, how many running, they had five, I said they had 1,000 running backs.
They did.
They had Corey Clement. They had, I don't know why he was the first name I mentioned, by the way. They had LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement.
They traded for Ajayi in the middle of the season, too, so they wanted him.
Wendell Smallwood. They had Darren Sproles at the beginning of the year. They had Kenyon Barner, who was vulturing touchdowns as like the sixth running back. And they all were just mashed into this pot of nothing for fantasy football. And the Colts don't have that. They have Marlon Mack right now. And that's, how could I forget? The awakening. The reawakening of Christine Michael.
The perennial
disappointer. They're not taking Saquon Barkley. Because they have Christine Michael, who
Hall
is going
of fame
to be
running
a
back,
stud.
Christine Michael. I think Barkley would be great at the Browns if they draft a quarterback in one. I think the Browns.
You don't think he would be good with Tyrod Taylor? Or I'm sorry, you wouldn't think he would be great with Tyrod Taylor being there. You think it takes the quarterback for him to be great?
I think it
takes. And the Colts, I just don't see that. I mean, they've never been able to run the football.
But they don't see, that's the thing. That's what makes Barkley so special, is you don't have to run the ball to get him touches. Barkley can run routes, yeah. Man. He's good. Like, he's a good catcher of the football, and he's a good runner too. But like, I'd say if the Browns take a quarterback at one, and then
they take Barkley at four,
because the Giants are probably trading away JPP. They're probably going to draft Bradley Chubb, defensive end from North Carolina State,
or trade down, hopefully.
And then the Jets are there for a quarterback. I think then if you get a quarterback and a running back with young receivers around them that can all grow together, maybe it won't provide the most immediate returns. But that could be a good long-term place for Barkley. I cannot believe I'm talking about the Browns potentially having success at any point ever.
I think if I were ranking them right now, I would put the Browns at one, the Colts at two, and then I would probably have a wide gap. Tampa as well.
Tampa would be a good place because they already have the quarterback in place.
And they don't have a running back.
And they've showed they didn't have a running back.
What, they have Charles Sims right now and Jaquizz Rodgers. That's
yes.
It.
And but they've showed also like that they will run the ball.
Right.
Running backs get touches there if you're not in the doghouse. Doug Martin.
Doug Martin got in their doghouse. I think if I were ranking them right now, I would put Browns 1, Colts 2, Buccaneers 3, Broncos 4, just because, I mean, I don't think they're taking him, but the Broncos don't have really.
Well, then they would have to, if they took Barkley, they would have no offense really and have to run it by default.
But he would still be a starting running back. I'm not worried about CJ Anderson taking carries away. After that, I mean, the Jets, but they're not taking them, so don't even bother there. So I think it's just those four teams that I think you got to key in on. Also, the Niners. They sit at 9. If he falls, keep an eye on them. I think if they, in a perfect world, that offense pairing Barkley with McKinnon, I think Kyle Shanahan would have a field day with that.
If there's one place I really would like to see him go, it would be Detroit Lions. He's not going to get there. He's not going to get to 20. But I would like to see that.
They would have to trade up. Like, they would have, picks.
Yeah, they would have to trade up, and it's not going to happen. But to me, like, if I'm playing, you know, fantasy GM, I would love to see that happen because Matt Stafford has never had a running.
They have Amir Abdullah.
It's been since 2013 that they've had a 1,000-yard rusher. It was Reggie Bush.
Whoa.
So it would be, you know what I mean? That until like, it'd be cool. Not even necessarily just from fantasy perspective.
I forgot he even played there.
But it would be cool to see like the Matt Stafford with a run game.
You don't like Amir Abdullah?
But they don't use him that way, which means I feel like they don't think he's that.
He's so limited.
He's good.
Like they limit him. I'm sorry.
You think they limit him?
I think they limit him. I think they limit all their running backs. That's why I don't know if I would love Barkley there.
You think they limited Reggie Bush? He had 1,000 yards there. Reggie Bush was largely...
Listen, Reggie Bush, those couple years, was a 1,000-yard rusher in Miami, too. Like, he was decent.
That's true. Reggie Bush was a good player.
Then he became a negative yardage guy in Buffalo.
I had more rushing yards than Reggie Bush one season.
That's true. Like, you didn't even have the same. Like, you had more.
You know how you can say on your resume, like, your 2006 time person of the year or whatever it was when it just said you and it was a mirror on the cover? Everyone listening to this podcast right now can say on their resume that they had more rushing yards during an NFL season than Reggie Bush did in 2016.
Unless Reggie Bush is listening to this podcast. Yes. Then you can't say that. All right. We're going to wrap up the show here. WGR Fantasy Football Podcast. You can find us on WGR550.com, but of course you know that because that's probably where you're listening to it. You can also find us on iTunes. Should be getting that up soon. Maybe not this episode, but future episodes at least. You'll be able to find us on iTunes as well. Maybe Spotify. I don't know how we make that work.
Come listen to us. Alexa, enable WGR.
You just ruined a lot of people's playbacks.
I probably did. I didn't even think about that.
We went through that with Alexa a couple months ago on WGR. You can follow Nick at Nick Lozanowski. You want to...
Underscore.
Nick underscore. You can spell your last name so people know how.
Lozanovski.
You can follow me at DiBiase WGR. Keep an eye out for more fantasy content on the website, WGR550.com, as we get closer to training camp. We'll get more stuff rolling after the NFL draft. We'll be back in a few weeks. Maybe we'll do another episode pre-draft. We'll definitely do an episode post-draft. We'll see what the Bills do. See where guys like Saquon Barkley go, Sony Michel, Chubb, both Chubbs, not Bradley Chubb, Nick Chubb, right? The other Georgia running back?
Yes.
Nick Chubb. We'll cover all of those guys.
I have to issue a correction.
Okay.
I called Rashad Penny Donnell Pumphrey because I'm confusing my super productive San Diego State running backs.
Who is Donnell Pumphrey?
He's a running back for San Diego State who I don't even know where he plays in the NFL now. But
does he play now?
It was last year.
Sounds like a familiar.
It was last year. I'm certain his career didn't end after one season. He was he might have been the all-time leading rusher in NCAA history.
That can't be right. Oh, maybe. I mean, Colt Brennan has records for the NCAA in passing. So maybe.
I think he had a 2,000-yard season. Enough San Diego State running back talk.
We'll continue this discussion off air. All right, thanks for listening. Thank you to Disciples of Smoke for our incredible theme song. We're going to talk more about that as we go forward in the season. We'll even talk to them on the podcast. I think we got that lined up for some point in the future, so we'll get that going. Thanks for listening, WGR Fantasy Football Podcast. Joe DiBiase, Nick Lozanowski. Thanks for listening, everybody.